What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. Before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that Underdog is the place to be if you guys want to crush your buffoon league mates this year. Underdog not only is the best place to play fantasy football because it has no waivers, no trades, you just draft, and then you collect your winnings at the end of the year. Big, big time winnings. $2 million to first in Best Ball Mania 6. Contest for any price point. But the reason that I love Underdog so much is because when I get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 drafts under my belt, I know exactly where players are going in sharp, real ADP drafts that are going to make me laugh at where I can get players in my home redraft league. Because ultimately, that's what I care about winning the most, my home redraft league. So when you're training on Underdog, when you're drafting, you're getting the best real life practice you can possibly get. Doing mock drafts on ESPN, doing mock drafts on Yahoo will not get you as prepared as Underdog will. Sign up right now. Use the promo code FSE when you sign up and you'll get up to $1,000 in bonus cash on the site on your first deposit and a gimme pick in your pick'em lobby. Check out the link in the description of all of our videos to get started. Now let's get into it. Who is the next league winning running back? I'm here to tackle that question. We're going to be going through the volume, the situational factors, the anatomy of a league winning running back who did it in 2024, who could do it in 2025. That's what you guys are here to find out. We're going to go through six running backs at a time towards the latter portion of this video and break down micro player take details of how they hit, how they fail, and we are going to start with the 35 league winner seasons in which we are looking through the anatomy of how we can get to the league winners of 2025. You guys can see a number of these seasons, including Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Bijan Robinson last year, all the way back to LeSean McCoy, Matt Forte, Jamaal Charles in 2013. How much volume did it take? How many fantasy points per game did it take to score as a league winner? And the league winner definition for me, 20 plus PPR points per game, minimum 12 games played in fantasy. The average amount of volume that it took to get to that level, 17.37 carries per game, 5.43 targets per game, 4.22 receptions, 21-ish total touches, and about a touchdown per game. Paced out to a 17-game season, we're looking at 300 carries, 92 targets, 366 total touches, and about 17 total touchdowns. So we're talking a very high bar for the amount of volume that you need for one of these seasons. And of course, volume isn't everything. We want to know about the situations of some of these players. Jahmyr Gibbs with a milestone first guy to score all green in every area of the situational factors. On average, we wanted to look at offensive rank and points per game, PFF run blocking grade. How good of an offensive line do they have? How good was their team? How many games did they win? How old were they when they completed this type of season? And of course, talent-based factors like their yards per carry, their yards per touch, and so on and so forth. You guys can see on average, you needed to be in about a top 10, top 9 offense, top 10 offensive line, 10-win team, 25 years old or under ideally, and then again, just under 5 yards per carry, 5.67 yards per touch. Running back generally is a pretty simple position. If you're going to get the volume, if you can catch passes, if you're really good, if you're really efficient, and of course, you're on a good team and you can stay healthy, you're probably going to smash in fantasy football. Every running back is going to have some question marks. Jahmyr Gibbs apparently is the first one to have done it without any question marks, aside from volume-based factors. Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, and Jahmyr Gibbs were the guys to do this last year. We're basically trying to work backwards, reverse engineer the anatomy of a league winner to find out who could do it this year. But even those guys last year had question marks. Jahmyr Gibbs, it was carry volume. For Barkley, it was receiving work plus Jalen Hurts sniping those touchdowns. For Bijan, he didn't play in an elite offense and he still had some QB questions as well. The better you are in some areas, the more you can overcome in other areas. Like you see here, Jahmyr Gibbs basically all red in the volume category, but he was all green everywhere else. So he was able to make up for it by being part of one of the best offenses, best offensive lines. His team won 15 games. He's super young. His efficiency was out the wazoo. That is how you can kind of get through some of those concerns. So what we're going to do is go through the 2025 running back landscape, six running backs at a time in order of Underdog ADP. These are not my rankings. This is the order in which they're being drafted in the sharpest ADP around Underdog Fantasy. And for those of you guys that are new to Underdog, start drafting these guys. Go and get your share of $15 million in total prizes, $2 million to first place in Best Ball Mania 6. You can sign up and start drafting today. No waivers, no trades, no in-season management. You just draft. Take what you learn in today's video and immediately apply it to fantasy football drafts and start winning big, big prizes over on Underdog. The best way to get ready for your home league drafts is to draft on Underdog Fantasy. And like I said, you can win up to $2 million up top if you could take down Best Ball Mania 6. Promo code FSE gets you up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick in your lobby. Definitely check that out if you guys are interested. That'll be linked down below in the pinned comment. But let's start by going through the top six running backs in Underdog ADP. We have Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, Christian McCaffrey, Ashton Jeanty, and Devon Achane, all being drafted around the range of the first round of fantasy football drafts in a lot of your leagues. Bijan Robinson, the first guy that we're going to talk about, of course, was a league-winning running back last year, going off the board as the RB1. The only concern I really accounted for Bijan Robinson is how good is Michael Penix Jr., because we don't have Kirk Cousins anymore. I mean, he's still there, but he's not necessarily going to be the starting quarterback. We don't know how good this offense is going to be. If you believe in Michael Penix, Bijan is a locked and loaded 2025 league winner and probably should be the 101 in your specific home leagues, or at the very least the 102, which is where I have him ranked right now. He's an elite talent. He gets elite volume. He gets elite receiving production. His efficiency is out the wazoo, and he has a top five run blocking line and a great offensive scheme that is going to feed him touches like crazy. So Bijan Robinson, don't overthink him. He is one of the best picks in all of fantasy football this year. If you have a top 3 to 5 pick and you get Bijan Robinson, consider yourself lucky, because he is going to absolutely smash this year. Even if Penix isn't a world beater and he's the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, he's still going to be good enough to get Bijan Robinson where he needs to go. Saquon Barkley, RB2 off the board. He's a top 5 pick overall. The major concerns for Barkley didn't matter last year, and in my opinion, they don't really matter that much this year, because there's a lack of receiving volume, because Jalen Hurts isn't going to check the ball down very much. He's a little bit older. He was a little bit older last year. More subject to injury coming off of a 400-plus season, for sure. There's real concerns, but it is still a top 3 to 5 elite talent running back in the NFL, elite volume that he's going to be getting on the ground behind the best offensive line in football, a top 5 scoring offense. Don't get too crazy with this one. I've seen people say, I wouldn't take Saquon Barkley even as a top 3 running back this year, because he's going to regress on these big plays and he's not going to have the volume in the receiving game. It doesn't matter, man. He's Saquon Barkley. He'll still crush no matter what, as long as he can stay healthy, which is the real concern I do put some credence into because of the workload he saw last year. He is going to be just fine, and I would take him with a top 5 pick. And, you know, if he burns me, he burns me. I will go down swinging with Saquon Barkley. Jahmyr Gibbs, top 6 pick. The major concerns for me are Frank Ragnow retires at center. He was a Pro Bowl center who now retires, so the offensive line got a little bit worse. And like I said, they were a top 5 unit last year. Ben Johnson, the architect of this offense, is now gone. And that definitely is going to really impact Gibbs specifically, because he was used in such creative ways. He was split out wide. He was given all these great receiving touches, trick plays, all that kind of stuff. Do the Lions regress from the number 1 scoring offense in football last year to a top 6 to 8 scoring offense in football? Because that doesn't sound like a big drop off, but it is. When you win 15 games and you're the number 1 offense in football and you're now the 6th best offense in football, that's going to take a lot of opportunities off of a 20 touchdown season that Jahmyr Gibbs had to have last year in order to finish as a league winner. So the only way in which Jahmyr Gibbs becomes like a dominant league winning running back again, which I do think is actually the most likely range of outcomes for him, is that Jahmyr Gibbs overtakes David Montgomery entirely. David Montgomery becomes more of a handcuff, less of an involved running back, and Jahmyr Gibbs can have that 20-touch upside that he hasn't quite had yet, because we know he has the touchdown upside, the receiving upside, and he's one of the best running backs in the league, but the overall volume hasn't been there for him. So to me, I do think that's going to take a step forward this year, even if the offense suffers a little bit without Ben Johnson. I'm very confident in Jahmyr Gibbs, and I do actually have him RB2 ahead of Saquon Barkley because of that confidence that I have in his workload increasing. Christian McCaffrey going off the board as a mid first round pick. The concerns are well documented, whether it's age, whether it's injury, the sneaky bad offensive line that the 49ers actually have. It's Christian McCaffrey, though. It's the receiving volume, the touchdown dominance, the Hall of Fame talent who's still playing at a high level whenever he's been last healthy. He can carry you to the promised land. The only concern that you should have if you want to draft Christian McCaffrey is, will this guy stay on the field? Because if he is on the field, he should be one of the best running backs in fantasy football, attached to one of the best offenses in the NFL. So moving into Ashton Jeanty, who's about a 1-2 turn pick, as dominant of a rookie volume projection as you're going to see. He was a top 6 NFL draft pick, one of the best running back prospects, the number four running back prospect to be specific, since 2016, behind only Bijan, Saquon, and Christian McCaffrey in the prospect model. High pace potential offense with Chip Kelly coming in. They actually ran number one in pace the last time he was in the NFL coaching for the Philadelphia Eagles. He should get great receiving work. Geno Smith, an older quarterback. Gentee, of course, as a sophomore at Boise State, was dominant out of the backfield as a receiver. But my questions for Gentee are, how good is this team going to be? How good is Geno Smith going to be? Because the Seahawks chose Sam Darnold over him. And last time they moved on from a quarterback, we all assumed they were stupid when they moved on from Russell Wilson. And that turned out to be the right decision for them. Is this the Jimmy G Raiders again? If you guys remember when the Raiders signed Jimmy Garoppolo, we all assumed, oh, great quarterback upgrade. And Jimmy G wasn't the same level of talent in Las Vegas as he was with the 49ers. And I could see Geno Smith not being nearly as good in Las Vegas as he was with Seattle. It could definitely work out. I could see this offense being top 12, top 15, 10-win football team type of situation, but it's a really good division, and in my opinion, they're the fourth best team in the division, and I do think it's fair to say that this could go either way. So with Gentee, you got to wonder if he has that type of upside. If he's on a 6 or a 7-win football team and they're not in the red zone very often, he might just be like the RB9 in fantasy points per game. And that's the downside risk with him. I think he's got a tight range of outcomes because he's young and he's super talented. But we all thought Bijan Robinson was bulletproof his rookie season, the last really dominant prospect to come in the league. And he did not finish even inside the top 12 running backs his rookie season, even though, you know, he wasn't getting the volume because of Tyler Algier. We thought there was no concerns, and there ended up being concerns with Bijan. So I don't want to take this like rose-colored glasses, Gentee is indestructible type of view when I do think there's actual real concerns to his profile. Moving into Devon Achane, the last guy in this territory, we have him as a 1-2 turn pick according to Underdog Fantasy. The carry workload is not elite. I do think Jalen Wright's going to be involved. The total touches are probably more in the 17 to 20 range per game than the 21, 22, 23 range like some of the other guys going in this range. And the Dolphins offensive line is actually one of the worst in football, if I'm being honest. But the leading running back target earner in the NFL last year was Devon Achane on a per game basis. I do think we're going to see a bounce back for this offense. The efficiency getting closer to that 2022-2023 Dolphins offense with Tyree coming back, with Jalen Waddle coming back, with Tua hopefully on the field for the whole season. There's a reason that Devon Achane was better than any other running back in fantasy points per game last year because of that target volume. When Tua was healthy, nobody scored more fantasy points per game than the 22.55 that Devon Achane had in the games that Tua played. So Devon Achane, to me, one of the best picks on the board, late first round, early second round, sign me up all day. Even though he doesn't get the carries, I absolutely love the receiving work. This top tier of running backs, these first six guys, rank in round one for me. They're excellent anchors to start your draft with. CMC and Gentee are the only ones I'm semi-worried about, but I still feel great about their upside cases, which makes me want to take the risk. RB7 to 12, we have Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Bucky Irving, Josh Jacobs, Chase Brown, and Breece Hall. Derrick Henry goes off the board early round two. The concerns have really been the same for years with Derrick Henry because no receiving work. We've known this for years. Some point, the Reaper is going to come for the crown and the King is going to be dethroned. And the Reaper's name is Father Time. And Derrick Henry at 32 years old this year, the Ravens will be a top five projected offense in points per game. Derrick Henry will have the highest Vegas projection in terms of total touchdowns per game, but 5.9 yards per carry at 32 years old is a tall task. Derrick Henry is unbelievably talented, will be wearing a gold jacket someday, but that is the downside risk. You will not catch me fading Derrick Henry. Same thing I said about Saquon Barkley. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll live with it. If I take Derrick Henry in the early second round and he falls off a cliff and is RB17 in points per game, then it sucks to suck. There'll probably be opportunities to get off of him during the season if you notice that he's not playing at the same level that we've seen in years past. So Derrick Henry, definitely willing to take him at RB7, but he is a little bit on the riskier side given his age. Jonathan Taylor, mid-second round running back as well. Same case really as Derrick Henry, only he's a lot younger, so you don't have that worry about him falling off. But the Colts will not be nearly as good as the Baltimore Ravens, even though I like Indianapolis this year to take a step forward. It is a question mark. But we do know what Jonathan Taylor brings. Elite carry volume, incredible game, breaking long runs and big plays. And we saw what he could do down the stretch in week 15 through 17 when he was a league-winning fantasy football asset. I think the Colts will be surprisingly good this year, maybe a top 12 to 15 scoring offense, assuming Daniel Jones is going to start for the majority of the season. But I don't know that for sure. I will say that the last time Jonathan Taylor was in a top 12 offense, he was the RB1 in fantasy points per game. So if the Colts are good this year, which I believe they can be, with Downs, with Pittman, with Mitchell, with Pierce, with Daniel Jones operating behind a top 10 offensive line with a top 5 to 10 running back in football, I do think they can be very, very good with a great coaching staff as well. Jonathan Taylor definitely not on my do not draft list, despite some of the downside risk of not a lot of PPR upside, maybe some injury concerns, and so on and so forth. The workload and the offense get me excited. Bucky Irving going in the late second round of drafts right now. The concerns for Bucky Irving are some of the carry volume, because Rashad White's capable. Rashad White can take away some of that third down work as well because he's a great pass protector. But Bucky Irving is hyper talented. And this is conservatively a top 12 offense. I'm not going to say that they're a top 5 offense, because Tristan Wirfs is expected to miss the first 4 games. And we don't know without Liam Cohen if they're going to be a top 5 offense like they were in 2024. So conservatively, they're a top 12 offense, but they could be a top 5 offense. It's a good team, good quarterback, and Mayfield likes to check the ball down a ton. Bucky Irving is an exceptional receiver, may not be quite as good of a 20 plus point per game projection as some of the other guys I've talked about so far, but he can get there. Remember, he was just a rookie last year, and he can get there with upticks specifically as a receiver. If he gets better in pass protection and he's on the field running 60, 70% of the routes, he could catch 70, 80 passes. And that's how we get that ultimate ceiling. Think of him as like cheaper Devon Achane, only in a better offense with maybe a little bit more upside as far as how many touchdowns he could score as well. Josh Jacobs going at the 2-3 turn, just solid across the board. He's really durable. He's really talented. Lots of touchdown upside in a really good Packers offense as well. The only thing that I worry about with Josh Jacobs is that he's a little bit older. He's 27 and a half years old. He has a lot of carries under his belt. He doesn't wow you as a receiver too. Like, at most, you're probably getting 50 to 60 targets out of this guy. And he's probably somewhat capped for that reason, as an 18 to 20 point per game score maybe sneaks into a league winner season, as opposed to a guy that could crush for 23 points per game. I just don't see that as very likely given his age, given his lack of receiving production. But I also do think it's very unlikely he's less than like RB12 in points per game. Like, he could be absolutely one of the closest, tightest range of outcomes running backs that you can draft. And if you guys don't like to miss on your early round picks, Josh Jacobs is definitely your guy. Chase Brown on the thumbnail of this video for a reason, because I do think he has legitimate league winning upside. As a 2-3 turn pick, I conservatively kind of graded him as if he's going to get 80 to 90% of what we saw him get down the stretch. Because in week 9 onward, he was an absolute league winner, one of the best running backs in all of fantasy. Is he going to get that type of workload? I don't necessarily think so. But if he does, he's going to absolutely smash his ADP. We saw him get the carry work, the receiving work, and that started really once the Bengals needed to start playing from behind, and the Bengals defense is still not that great. Trey Hendrickson's still not under contract. This is a talented player, a top 5 to 10 scoring offense, a top 3 to 5 quarterback in the NFL, and he is the clear starter by all reports in camp. Zach Moss on the NFI list with that neck injury. He might retire, legitimately. He might not be an issue at all. And then you have a 6th round rookie in Taj Brooks to compete for touches with. And I really do think that Chase Brown is capable of being a workhorse, because we saw him do it in all of his college career at Illinois, and we saw him do it down the stretch in week 9 onward for the Bengals. He is absolutely live to crush an early 3rd round ADP and finishes a top 3 to 5 running back in fantasy. Breece Hall also closing out this tier. He said 2 days ago that he's got something to prove. He sat there in front of the podium, was like, this coaching staff didn't draft me. They have no allegiance to me. I need to prove my worth to them. And he is trying to get a big time payday because he is a free agent after this year. While this offense may not be much, because Justin Fields is Justin Fields, outside of Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, there's not a ton of weapons here. He can get there on the back of 5+ targets per game, because Breece Hall legitimately is the 2nd best receiver on this roster, and he's been a top 5 running back in receiving targets per game since entering the NFL, despite missing some time with ACL injuries and that kind of thing. Fields checks the ball down a lot, even as a mobile guy, and who knows, maybe Breece Hall can recapture that 2022-2023 efficiency and carry workload that we saw. He is sneakily now running behind a top 10 offensive line in the NFL, graded by Brandon Thorne, PFF, and FTN Fantasy. All of them graded the Jets offensive line as a top 10 unit in football after spending back-to-back top 15 picks on Olufoshanu at left tackle and Armon Membu at right tackle. This offensive line should be a lot better. The coaching staff is a lot better as well. We had Nathaniel Hackett calling plays for this guy in his multiple RB1 seasons that we saw from him. Breece Hall, just take the value anytime you can get it in the mid to late third round. There are 12 running backs that go off the board. I just mentioned the 12th by pick 34 on Underdog. These 12 guys are inside my top 24 of my overall ranking. So to me, in the 5 years I've been doing this, I don't know if I've seen a better top 12 across the board from start to finish where there's not one guy that I'm like, yeah, I'm fading that guy or I'm avoiding that guy at cost. Yes, there's concerns with each one of these guys. There's risk with each one of these guys. But if we look at Ryan Heath's article that he just wrote about the anatomy of an RB1 or a league winner, some of these like high win rate ESPN league type of dominating alphas that you just can't replace in your home leagues, that usually comes from a round one, a round two, a round three, or a round four running back. You don't usually see league winning dominant running backs come out of the woodworks in the 13th round. For the most part, they come in the early rounds, and that is why I'm heavily drafting these top 12 guys, and I'm going a lot more running back heavy earlier than I usually am in recent years. Moving into running backs 13 through 18 in ADP, you guys can see Kyren Williams, Amarian Hampton, James Cook, Kenneth Walker, Chuba Hubbard, and Alvin Kamara. This range of running backs, they all go from pick 35, so about the 3-4 turn, to about mid round 5 or about pick 56 where Alvin Kamara goes. So you're getting these guys in what was formerly known as the early portion of the RB dead zone. Kyren Williams is the first guy in this range. Great pass production, great offense, but the targets haven't been there. The efficiency wasn't there last year, and the workload's in jeopardy because all Kyren has is workload. So if his workload's in jeopardy, then he's probably not a very good pick. Consistent drumbeat for Jarquez Hunter, the fourth round rookie running back they drafted this year. Some upside for Blake Corum, the third round running back they drafted last year, to take away a little bit more touches. Kyren Williams is the first running back that I see in ADP, in order of ADP, where I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm probably good. I don't really want to draft him at RB 13 at the 3-4 turn. I'll probably take somebody differently. Amarian Hampton, RB 14 off the board, first round rookie running back, first round draft capital, three down skill set. He can contribute as a receiver. He's got breakaway speed, excellent athlete, and was a great prospect. He is working with Justin Herbert behind a top 5-10 offensive line, and his only obstacle was Najee Harris, who has an eye missing. Like, we don't even know what's going on with Najee Harris at this point in time. He's becoming less of an obstacle by the day, and it looks like throughout most of training camp, Amarian Hampton's going to be working with the ones, operating as the number one running back in this offense. And I do think that if you can get Amarian Hampton anywhere outside of the top 24 to 30 picks right now, I'm being 100% honest here, that he might be a second round pick by the time late August fantasy drafts come along. Just consider it a value. If you're getting him in the third, fourth round Underdog drafts right now, consider it a value because he probably won't be going there for that much longer. And Amarian Hampton, absolutely one of my picks for who could be the next league winning running back this year. James Cook of the Buffalo Bills, the volume is the big issue for him because he is not getting a carry workload or a target workload that rivals these 20 plus point per game guys. But the offense is elite. His efficiency has been elite. Touchdown upside out the wazoo, as we saw last year. The offensive line is great. It's just that James Cook is one of the only running backs that goes in the top like 24 guys that you're probably projecting for like a 50% snap share. He's basically a much cheaper, less talented version of Jahmyr Gibbs, where you need everything else to be perfect in order for him to smash and be an RB1, which we saw last year. But Ray Davis is probably going to eat into his touches on the ground. Josh Allen, of course, going to rush in 10 plus touchdowns on the ground as well. James Cook, a very fine pick. I just don't think the ultimate ceiling goes beyond really RB5, RB6 overall upside. I don't think he can have a 20 plus point per game season, but that doesn't make him a bad pick. It means he's just not as high of a ceiling guy as the other ones because he's still a guy with an RB1 season under his belt, and he still has a very good projection and a great offense. Kenneth Walker of the Seattle Seahawks, great player. Just got to stay healthy, man, because when he's healthy, he was an RB1 in points per game last year when he was on the field. The volume is great when he's on the field. Last year, we saw a nice receiving uptick when he was on the field, and the Seahawks are sneakily projected as a top 15 offense in the league. So stay on the field, Kenneth Walker, and you actually have a very good projection for you. Chuba Hubbard, the threat of his volume scares me a little bit because they bring in Rico Dowdle, who was very good for the Cowboys last year and could take away some touches from Chuba Hubbard because sneakily, Chuba Hubbard was like a top 6-10 running back in opportunity share. And if Carolina is not going to give him a huge, huge workload again, I don't really love him at his current like late 5th round price tag, mid 5th round price tag. unless you think this Carolina offense is going to take a major step up, be an 8 to 10 win team, top 15 scoring offense. They could. Tet McMillan's a big addition. Bryce Young was playing well at the end of the season, but it's not a guarantee. It's in the range of outcomes, but it is not a guarantee. Can Chuba Hubbard fend off Rico Dowdle? And fourth round rookie Trevor Etienne could become a pest, work into the backfield as a receiving threat, whatever the case is. Alvin Kamara, the last guy of this territory. Yes, the Saints will suck, but Alvin Kamara was an 18 fantasy point per game running back when he was on the field the last 2 years. In fact, he's been a top six scoring running back in fantasy behind even worse offensive lines than the one that he has now, because they've taken an offensive tackle in back-to-back first rounds of the NFL draft. Who knows? Maybe they get decent quarterback play from Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler, whoever's going to start for the team. All I know is that Alvin Kamara, outside of like Devon Achane, is probably going to lead the position in targets. Maybe him, Breece Hall, Devon Achane, they're going to fight for the top targeted running back in the NFL. There is not a ton of guys behind Alvin Kamara to carry volume away from him. I like Devin Neal, Kendre Miller's, whatever, but I do think it's going to be the Alvin Kamara show yet again. And who knows? One thing that's sneaky about Alvin Kamara is that if the Saints are tracking to have the first overall pick, what if the Cowboys trade for Alvin Kamara or something? You know what I mean? That's a sneaky thing about Alvin Kamara, especially on Underdog, where, you know, if he gets traded midseason, that wasn't factored into his price or whatever. It's very possible that Kamara does get dealt at some point during the year. So keep that in mind specifically for best ball, but it also would apply to redraft as well. These guys, this RB13 to 18 range, is so much more appealing than it usually is, mainly because they're not priced where RB13 to 18 usually are priced. Usually, you have to take RB13 to 18, if this was 5 years ago, at the 2-3 turn or whatever. You're not getting RB13 to 18 off the board that late or that early in your drafts anymore. A lot of these guys are going like fourth, fifth round. So if you're thinking about taking these guys, just remember that all of them are like in good offenses or have a lot of receiving upside. For the most part, they check one of those two boxes and sometimes both, except for Chuba Hubbard, who's like halfway in between both of those two scenarios. So just remember that these guys probably in 2020 would have been like the 209 or something like that. And right now you can get them in the fourth or the fifth round. So moving into the RB19 through 24 range, and I'll start to rattle through these a little bit faster. RB19, James Conner, RB20, RJ Harvey, Joe Mixon, Trevion Henderson, Caleb Johnson, and DeAndre Swift. I could group some of these guys together to save us some time. These guys all go between like the sixth round and the seventh round. James Conner and Joe Mixon are quite similar because they're older, talented running backs who've been RB1s in the past. But Conner is my preference, number one, because he's not currently injured like Joe Mixon is. Number two, he was better than Joe Mixon down the stretch last year. And number three, he runs behind a much better offensive line than Houston has. And I actually think the Cardinals will be a better offense than what Houston is, even though that might be somewhat of a hot take. There's some concern for Trey Benson, the third round rookie running back that the Cardinals took in the draft last year. And there's some concern for Nick Chubb and Woody Marks in the Texans backfield eating into these guys' workloads respectively. But I do actually really like James Conner at cost, because everything they keep saying is it's going to be his backfield. The two rookies, or two of the rookies in this territory, RJ Harvey of the Broncos, Trevion Henderson of the Patriots, both second round picks, both do, though, have former top 20 scoring fantasy backs in their backfield. I think it's underrated that J.K. Dobbins and Ramondre Stevenson aren't just like slappy randos. They've actually been very productive in the past. Henderson's path to paying off is elite target upside for the Patriots. The Patriots taking a big step forward. They're projected for 8.5 wins on the Vegas markets right now. And Drake May could be an exceptional quarterback in this league. But can he win the job early? That's what Trevion Henderson's main crux is right now. How involved is he right at the beginning of the season? And can he be a 18 to 20 touch running back down the stretch? Because in college, whenever he got a big workload, he wore down. So that's something that I need to worry about with Trevion Henderson. But still, he can pay off his ADP by being a 5, 6, 7 target per game running back once he gets a full workload. And then RJ Harvey for the Denver Broncos, his path to paying off is becoming the lead back in Sean Payton's offense. Sean Payton's offense with Bo Nix, top 10 to 15 scoring projection. But is he going to completely usurp a guy who was the RB18 in fantasy points per game last year in J.K. Dobbins? Yes, he's not making that much money, but J.K. Dobbins was legit good. Like, Sean Payton doesn't care how much money he's making when they're in practice and he looks great. That's just what's the reality of the situation. Personally, I prefer Henderson to Harvey because I think that Stevenson's worse than Dobbins. And I also do think that Henderson, because of that receiving upside, that he has over Harvey is the higher upside fantasy pick and was the better prospect overall. The other rookie in this range is Caleb Johnson, basically just projects as the early down hammer for the Aaron Rodgers-led Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, what does that situation look like? Because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to make this team like a 11-win football team, personally. I think their defense is going to be fine. They're going to win 8-9 games and be a classic, oh, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. Yeah, but they're 9-8 and they don't make the playoffs. So that's what I expect out of the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. The question for Caleb Johnson is he more than just like expensive Brian Robinson, where I'm getting a touchdown or bust running back who's going to get like 250 carries, but he doesn't have a lot of receiving upside and the offense isn't like exceptionally good enough to the point that I want to push him up the board. And he's a rookie and I don't know how good he's going to end up being. Is Jaylen Warren more a part of this backfield than he was with Najee Harris? Less or the same? It's all going to depend on how good Caleb Johnson is. If you're a big Caleb Johnson guy, I get it. But I tend to think that it's going to be a bit of a split backfield and Caleb Johnson might be inconsequential. Like, let's say he hits and he's RB21 in fantasy points per game and I kind of faded him. It's not going to kill me. I don't think he crushes for like an RB6 in points per game type of ceiling. That's just my personal opinion. But if you love Caleb Johnson's talent, then maybe you can get there. Finally, in this range, we have DeAndre Swift of the Chicago Bears. Given his cost, because he's like a seventh round pick, he's got arguably the highest ceiling of this group. And let me explain why. Usually the biggest indicator of ceiling is, are you in the age and touch range where you're not going to be washed or you're not going to be, you know, not known at all? It's like the guy's 26. He has multiple RB1 seasons under his belt, multiple RB2 seasons under his belt as well. Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, Romo Odunze, DJ Moore, Luther Burden, Colston Loveland. This could be a really good offense. Not just good. It could be exceptionally good. His only concern is that people don't think he's good. DeAndre Swift, people don't think he's a good running back, but you don't finish multiple times as an RB1 and multiple times as an RB2 without being a good player. And he can contribute as a receiver. He can contribute on the goal line. So I get elevating Roschon Johnson and Kyle Menengai and taking them pretty high in the late rounds because we don't believe in DeAndre Swift, the talent, because I'm still doing that too. Like, I still like Roschon Johnson at cost. It's just that everything we've heard, the most recent quote out of camp, is that DeAndre Swift is quote unquote preparing for a huge workload this year. Like, they're serious about giving him a huge workload. And last time he played with Ben Johnson, he had his highest receiving upside of his career. So I do think that DeAndre Swift is an exceptional value at the RB24 price tag he's going. And if you guys fade the running back position, maybe do a hero RB or something like that, I do think that DeAndre Swift is a very fine option for you to take at the early seventh round area where he's going. Moving into the next tier of running backs, RB25 to 30, I'll just rattle through these guys very fast. These guys are going around 7-9 on Underdog, and around that RB25 to 32 ADP, you really want to start to be cognizant of not over-investing into guys because you do see a drop-off in talent level. Just think about it. 32 NFL teams, once you get to RB25 to 32, you're probably not looking at the best running backs in the NFL talent-wise. These three guys, I find myself drafting the most often in this tier. That's Isaiah Pacheco, Aaron Jones, and Brian Robinson. Isaiah Pacheco has a great offense, top five scoring projection for Kansas City, good offensive line, and Pacheco's still young, and he's also in a contract year himself on a potential 12 to 13 plus win team, and he's most likely going to get back to his 2023 form, in which he was the RB10 on the season because he was able to score touchdowns, create big plays, and all that stuff. When you have an RB1 season under your belt, that's very predictive going forward. And when you're getting a guy going in the seventh round who was an RB1 and is still young just 2 years ago on one of the best offenses in football, to me, that seems like a great projection. We also saw before his injury that he was getting more receiving work than he usually was getting in those first two games of 2024. The only reason he's fallen is because he looked like shit when he came back from his injury. But had he not come back from that injury, I think he'd actually been going a lot higher than where he's going right now. To me, one of the absolute best values in drafts on the entire board. And if this were 2020, I think Isaiah Pacheco would be going at like the 306 or something like that. And the fact that he's going in the seventh round to me is absolutely insane. And I'm drafting him all day, every day, and twice on Sunday, especially on Underdog, where he sometimes slides to the eighth round. Aaron Jones, still very talented. Vegas expects the Vikings to be pretty good still. Great O-line. I just don't think he ultimately has more than like a 15 to 17 point per game ceiling because Jordan Mason is going to factor into this backfield. And he's also old, Aaron Jones. I don't think he's going to recapture his form and be like a 22 point per game scorer at 30 years old. I just don't think it's very likely. Brian Robinson, still young, top 10 projected offense, goal line hammer, upgraded offensive line with Laremy Tunsil and the first round tackle that they took to play right tackle. And honestly, he just needs to stay healthy. He hasn't really been on the field very much, and he's in a contract year as well. So Brian Robinson, a guy that I really like. The other guys in this range, Pollard, Montgomery, and Mason, they all have significantly more backfield competition than I would want out of a 7th, 8th, or 9th round pick at this position. So I'm not really drafting them. RBs 31 to 36. We're really deep down the board now. Travis Etienne, Jalen Warren, Quinshon Judkins, Tyrone Tracy, J.K. Dobbins, and Cam Scadaboo. There's a whole host of issues with a lot of these guys. Whoever starts for Jacksonville has upside. And as of now, it looks like it's going to be Travis Etienne, who's a former RB1 in fantasy. Sounds like Bishel Tootin isn't really working into this backfield yet because he was a raw rookie, and it sounds like it's pretty much Etienne versus Bigsby at this point in time. Even though Tank Bigsby is the one getting the hype as I'm currently recording this right now, Etienne, when he was the starter last year, still commanded the starting role. He was still getting the receiving targets, still getting the valuable touches inside the red zone and most of the carries. So if Travis is starting to get some hype at some point, I do think that he has a chance to really return a lot of value in like the 9th round where he's going. Quinshon Judkins and Tyrone Tracy are the only other guys that I'm really interested in this range. They're risky for sure because they could be on really bad teams, really bad offenses, but I do think they're just both talented running backs. And Judkins, I mean, there's this whole legal situation going on. I have absolutely no idea when he's going to get back with the team, but whenever he is back with the team, if he gets back with the team soon, we should see him start to command the number one reps during training camp, during the preseason. Again, I have absolutely no idea how his legal situation is going to play out, but for the time being, I'm taking the value at like 110, 115, 120, where he's sometimes falling on underdog fantasy drafts. But you guys might be watching this a couple weeks down the road and know how the Judkins situation turned out. I just frankly don't have that information at this point in time. And Tyrone Tracy, of the two Giants running backs, is my preference because I do think he had a great season last year. And I think Scadaboo might have a little bit of an adjustment in his rookie season. But yeah, that's basically the top 36 running backs. Here's the scorecard of the top 30 running backs to give you guys an idea. Something new that I added this year was the archetype of running back that they are. So if you guys watched Friday's video, I was titled, "This Will Change Your Early Round Running Back Strategy." I did that video because I wanted to showcase and highlight the three different archetypes of running backs: the running backs in their prime, the breakout candidates, and the trusty veterans. The running backs in their prime are the best combination of hitting on your picks consistently and getting access to that elite ceiling. So I've kind of, you know, labeled the guys who are running backs in their prime here. You see Bijan, Gibbs, Achan, Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Kyren Williams, James Cook, Chuba Hubbard. All those guys are running backs in their prime. So you do want to maybe use those as tiebreakers if you're caught between two players, that you'd probably rather have a running back in their prime than a trusty veteran, because trusty veterans get injured more. They don't hit mega upside ceilings as much. Breakout candidates, particularly like Chase Brown, Bucky Irving, and Amarian Hampton, who are being drafted really highly as breakout candidates, are also very good bets again. So if I had to answer the question that I posed at the beginning of this video, which is who is the next league-winning running back, my answer would be very long because I like a lot of these guys, but I do think that Chase Brown, Breece Hall, and Amarian Hampton are probably my best bets for who returns the highest win rate, because they're going the lowest of the guys that I really like. Chase Brown, RB11, Breece Hall, RB12, and Amarian Hampton, RB14 off the board. And I legitimately do see a 20 plus point per game ceiling for any one of those three players. So those are the answers to the question that I posed at the beginning of the question, at the beginning of the video, which is who are the league winning upside bets? This is a great year to get into like the strategy portion of this video. This is a great year to take a double hero RB, or maybe even three stabs at the running back position in the first 4 to 5 rounds. I want to walk away with probably two running backs before the 4th round is over, because I love a lot of these profiles. And of course, scoring format and your league settings will also factor into it. Like, I wouldn't just take two running backs in the first 4 rounds when elite wide receivers are falling to me because my league mates are thinking the same thing. I'm just saying, as a general rule, in the first 4 rounds, maybe you want to tie break a running back over an elite tight end, or a running back over an elite quarterback, or a running back over a similarly valued wide receiver, because I think it is the shallowest position in fantasy this year. Specifically, the guys up top who could have really, really high-end seasons. So the reason I did the tight end and quarterback videos first was because I do think, and I wanted to show you guys, that you can get them late. And the position is a little bit deeper than it is at running back and wide receiver, because at running back or at tight end and quarterback, I can say, yeah, Dak Prescott, who goes off the board as QB 12 or whatever, could outscore Joe Burrow or something like that. Like, I can't say that, you know, Tyrone Tracy is going to outscore Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, it's just not going to happen. There's no way that happens. I can say that Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland could outscore George Kittle. Like, it's possible. It's definitely possible. So that's why I am fading the tight end and quarterback position generally, unless I get great value on those elite guys. And I'm hammering 7-8 running backs through 9 rounds in my draft. 7-8 running backs and wide receivers through my first 9 rounds in my draft. I want to have 3 running backs, 5 wide receivers through the first 8 rounds if I possibly can, because in round 9+, I can get great value on Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, Bo Nix, Baker Mayfield sometimes. Like, there's quarterbacks I can get there. I can get good value on Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland, David Njoku, Tucker Kraft. I could keep going. There's plenty of guys at each of those positions that I absolutely love. So maybe, just maybe, I'll deviate for one elite quarterback or one elite tight end and walk away with 7 or 8 wide receivers through the first 9. But for the most part, I am totally comfortable walking out of the first 8 rounds with only wide receivers and running backs on my roster. And I'm sticking to my guns this year that I do think that is the most optimal strategy to play fantasy football drafts. Of course, I will cover the wide receiver position next Monday. We have strategy videos all week. Hero running back, zero running back, double hero running back, hero wide receiver. So stay tuned for all of that stuff. We're going to also be covering some camp risers, and we're going to be answering the question, who is this year's blank? Who is this year's Brock Bowers? Who is this year's Jahmyr Gibbs? Who is this year's all the league winners from last year? We're going to try and, you know, reverse engineer those, and that'll be later in the week on Sunday. So if you enjoyed this video, leave a like, subscribe to the channel if you're new around here. If you want all my rankings, our draft guide, everything is available over on flockfantasy.com. Use the promo code FSE to get started. We will have our season pass debuting this week. All you have to do to get the season pass, it'll be site access from August 1st to January 1st. So for the rest of the 2025 calendar year, that'll cover you through the entire redraft season. The last week of the NFL season is at the very end of December. So you would be covered through the entire redraft season by purchasing the season pass. You'll get our draft guide, the draft guides of all the other 3 channels on the Flock Fantasy site. You'll get our rankings. You'll get access to all the tools. You'll get everything you need to dominate your redraft fantasy football league. And also you can look back at some of the dynasty stuff that we have going on for this calendar year. So definitely check that out. That'll be live probably tomorrow or later this week at the latest, but at the very latest, that'll be live on August 1st. So definitely stay tuned for that. It'll be $35 with promo code FSE, and you'll get basically 3-5 months of access to the site, and you'll be covered for your entire redraft season. So definitely check that out if you're interested. Plus you get all the draft guides and some start sit questions for free. But with that being said, peace out, and I'll talk to you soon.